B-Pod Studios.
Our man who all summer long has been providing us with delicious, tasty, easy-to-prepare meals, Tony D'Amico joins us from Cape Crepe and Chowder. Hey, Tony!
Hey!
How are you, buddy? What? What's the matter? Ready for having another delicious recipe? Tony's secret recipes, easy fixins. What's the matter with you? What the hell's your problem?
I don't think I can do this no more.
What do you mean you don't think you can do this no more? What the hell's that all about?
But you didn't call me last week.
I told you I couldn't. I was going to go and postpone it because we had Haney's mom on with an absolutely fantastic recipe that everybody fell in love with her, the recipe, and all that stuff. I'm thinking about using her more often.
Well, you should.
Oh, I should? Can't you handle one day of not doing this and then we bring you right back? It was a special thing. We had Haney's mom on. And you're going to go and pout like a big baby, you old man?
Stan, it's just, when I heard Mrs. Haney.
Yes.
I realized that I have been just a complete fool.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Because she come on.
Yep.
And she was very personable.
Yep. She's a very likable woman.
Very engaging.
Yep. So far, I've heard nothing that you possess, and she possesses that.
And she gave out a recipe that is delicious and very simple to prepare.
Which is what we wanted from you.
And that's what I was supposed to be doing the whole time.
Yep.
And when I heard it done properly,
yep,
I realized what a fool I am.
Let me ask you this. Did you hear Mrs. Haney on last week and jot down that recipe for the Chicken Supreme?
I did.
And did you prepare it?
I did, because I will admit to you, at first I was very angry about it. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to make this. And then when I come back on, I'm going to poke all kind of holes in it.
Yeah, you're going to go and try to sabotage it.
It was one of the best damn things I've ever eaten.
Yeah, absolutely. Tops your slop, even the stuff your mama used to make.
And I got to say, it took me a fraction of the time my normal recipes do.
You know, the thing is, I don't know. I haven't been up to your dump in God knows how long. Why do I sense that this recipe that Mrs. Haney cooked was so delicious and so easy that you didn't have Big Tim cook up a big vat of it and you started serving it at your restaurant charging some ridiculous price?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No one could ever know about this. I wouldn't even let Timmy eat it.
And you wouldn't let Timmy eat it? Who ate the casserole when you made it last weekend? That serves like six people.
I ate it all myself through a lot of tears. Because if I allowed Timmy to have that, he'd know what good food tasted like, and he'd wonder why I never gave him any.
Like, for example,
for his whole life.
What did you pack Timmy for lunch today?
For his lunch today, I gave him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I put it in a plastic bag. I smushed it down with the heel of my hand, threw it up against the wall, stepped on it, put it in a paper sack, and handed it to him with a smiley face on the bag. That's how he liked it. And also a bag of chips that I also stepped on. Tomorrow I'm going to just make him up a broken glass thermos with some canned chicken soup. But you know, Stan, I got a lot of soul searching this week.
Yeah, you did. And I bet.
There's something you got to understand.
What's that?
Stan, I never wanted this.
Never wanted what?
I'm living somebody else's life. Now, you
what
know
do you mean?
A little bit. You know a little bit about my past, you know, the whores and the drug running and whatnot.
Yep, yep.
Because I swore that I would not become my father, that I would not get involved in the restaurant business at all.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was the 60s. And me and a couple of fellas in Greenwich Village put together a psychedelic folk band.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what they did back then, Tony. You're not to be blamed for that. Did the band have a name?
Well, the band was TDB.
TDB. The Tony D'Amico Band.
Yes.
You just called yourselves TDB, and it was psychedelic stuff.
Yeah, and it just this beautiful little flower girl in the village come up with a logo.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't realize she was ripping nobody off, but the TDB, the letters, they looked like the AC/DC letters, and there was also a lightning bolt involved, and we ended up getting sued by the AC/DC and Elvis because the TCB.
Taking care of business.
That looked way too serious. And, but it was a wonderful time, you know. We played the coffee houses.
Sure.
We played the Cafe Wild.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then after the lawsuit and all that stuff, you know, with tail between your legs, went back to Pa and said, I'm ready to be in the restaurant business. Isn't that what it is?
But at one time, you know, around New York, there was Dylan, there was Hendrix,
yep.
There was TDB, the Stones would roll through town.
You know, I don't know if I ever asked you this because I'm learning all about you. In TDB, what instrument did you play?
Well, I was the front man.
Oh.
I fancied myself, you know, a Mick Jagger type.
So you'd be with a tambourine or a cowbell and taking the lead.
Yes, because I don't read music and I can't play an instrument.
Now, did you write? Did you you know, you obviously had a lot of cover 60s cover songs, but did you yourself write?
Well, I guess you could say that, you know, me and the boys, we'd drop a lid and, you know what I'm
sure.
talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I sure do.
We'd look through the window pane.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then the magic would happen.
We do that, and then a lot of blues and reds.
Yeah. Take a really long trip there, huh?
Yep, and, you know, kiss Mary Jane on the lips. And I like to say, you know, the songs, they kind of wrote themselves.
Do you remember anything? Do you remember what? Can you, anything that you wrote back? You know, this is a part of your history. And, you know, back in the 60s with your psychedelic band, TDB, with the lightning bolt. Do you remember anything that you wrote?
Well, there was the one big hit. Let me see if I can recall it.
Okay,
for you.
Sure.
And, of course, my voice has changed over the years.
I know. It's changed since you've been on with us over the last 20.
Right.
You know what I call it? Your voice is seasoned, Tony, over the years. It's become seasoned, which means that if you go back to some of your old stuff, it may take on a whole different sound and tone to it.
You think so?
Well, very. If you got something, let me hear it. And you know,
are you thinking maybe I could do some sort of Rick Rubin style comeback?
I'm wondering. You know what? It has all the earmarks. You know, and you'd bill it. You'd bill because obviously people in your band, many of them have gone on to other, and some probably have died. But it could be billed as the lead vocalist and founder of TDB, you know, and go around and make a new cut, and it could be big deal, big deal.
Maybe it could be TDB, meaning Tony D's Back.
Yeah, and the name of the album or the song, Tony D's Back. What do you got for me? Let me hear if you still got it, buddy. I mean, range goes.
Well, you know, bear with me. I don't have the arrangement or any of that.
Just a little acapella thing here that you might got.
Well, remember, it was a different time.
I understand. It was the 60s, psychedelic, you know, dropping a lid and walking dirty.
Okay, here it goes. Hey, 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 baby, 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 oh mine, baby.
Yeah, this is an original written by Tony D'Amico, lead vocalist of the TDB band circa 1966.
Okay, that was the intro.
Yeah.
Silver crystal mystic river.
Yeah.
Skies of blue water fall on my window. Ever softly, ever harder. Baby, 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 lay down and put your mouth on me.
Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti. Stan and Haiti on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws spies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Now's just the right time to freshen up that portable radio of yours. Best way to do that, of course, is to have it checked by your radio man. He's a radio expert, and because your radio man knows from experience what's best for your portable, he'll recommend
Stan and Haney.
They're radio engineered for extra listening hours.
96 J-Rock.
Oh my God.
Everybody.
The show we're doing off the air.
I don't belong here. That belongs with that Ainsley and her Bible reading stuff. From Fox. Hey, everybody, standing here.
Or with Seth Rogen talks ancient religions. Boy, he gets it, doesn't he?
That's
Seth Rogen. He got it all figured out. Because it dawned on him one day when he was smoking a big fat doob. Hey, in 1948, was it? Like, there were people already there, man. You get it, dude?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, I hear you. I'm walking with you. How you doing, everybody? How are you, Haney?
I'm not sure yet. Okay. I'll be sure to keep you advised on that.
The man behind the glass, making sure everything looks perfectly and makes the hosts look good. Junior, how's everything going with you over there?
Everything's just peachy over here.
Well, because he's a good boy. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, I'm a good boy.
Good boy. Yeah, he's a good boy. I'm going to save it for later, and you're going to love this. You're going to love it. I just have to tell you a 1.5 minute story. So, let's go back to 2015. 5 years ago, I was given, I think, through whoever the program director was 5 years ago, I think it might have been Zito.
Well, it could have been that drummer.
Could have been the drummer.
He was a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did that to him.
But I was given the CD in 2015. Don Henley, Cass County. It was a solo album he had put out, and it was country music. And you know, you and I, we get the program directors handing us stuff all the time. I had this CD, and where it was positioned in our office, both the previous office and the current office, where it was positioned, I saw it every single day and had no desire to pick it up. None. For 5 years, I saw this Don Henley album on our shelf. On the top.
And you'd never listen to it.
And I would see it, oh yeah, what is that's the Don Henley. Every time I would lock our office door, it was right in my eyesight as I hit the button to lock the door. It was automatically in my eyesight, this album. For 5 long years. Last night, I'm leaving to go home, and I go through the same routine. I go lock the door, get ready to leave, and there's the Don Henley CD staring at me again. And I was in a mood where I said, for crying out loud, I'm going to take it and put it in the wall where all our other stuff is so I don't have to see it anymore. But I didn't. I said, you know what? I've been staring at it for 5 years. I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to pop it in the car, and I'm going to listen to the CD. And Haney, you know this as well as I do, Junior, probably a bunch of people listening to us. There's a fistful of CDs probably over a 10-year period of time that affect you. That it's like every song in this thing is moving me. It's causing a reaction in me. And I found myself when I got home last night, sitting in the driveway to wait till the song I was listening to finish before I would go inside. It was that good.
You mean like our moms did with American Pie?
Yes. There is, and I'm going to play it. I got the CD right here. 3 o'clock hour, I'm going to play you a song.
I don't think it's fair to make us wait until 3 o'clock after that build-up.
I don't have time.
No, you bastard. Why do you do... I understand that's how radio works, but that's not how we work.
I got to tell you this. This is...
Son of a bitch.
This album, and it's all country, and he's got a bunch of guest country-ass people on there.
Well, he's also appeared on a lot of country records.
Let me tell you
specifically,
something.
He's helped the Scruggs boy out more than
the
once.
The Eagles today would be considered a country band.
Died in the wool.
It was like listening to new Eagles music with a bunch of celebrity people. Celebrity country people. Maybe I'll play it when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Cut two on this.
Because by 3 o'clock, nobody will remember what you're talking about.
I know. Short time.
He gave it a great intro.
Cut two on this, and I read when I got home, I wanted to learn more about it. It's a song called, on the Don Henley album, that stared at me for 5 years. It's a song that is called The Cost of Living.
Oh, jeez.
And I said, I want to know more about this, because... He has a guest vocalist with him on the song. And I read it. Less than a year before he died, this gentleman joined Don Henley in the studio. And Don Henley, who's seen and done it all, was nervous that the man was even in the room with him. Merle Haggard. And he said... Don Henley co-wrote or wrote all the songs on this album. He said, I had this song written in mind for Merle Haggard. And he said, we were getting a lot of people involved with this album. He was getting a little crotchety. His health wasn't good. He would die less than a year later. And he said, I asked if Merle would come in and sing the song with me. And he did. And he said, I was starstruck. He said, Merle didn't want to do a whole bunch of takes. I would have liked him to have done a few more. He said, that's good enough. And it's on this album. I'll play it when we come back. It's awesome. It's awesome. This whole album is awesome, and I'm just discovering it 5 years later.
I can't believe we have to say goodbye to Shucky Ducky.
I know, he passed away. Shucky Ducky, COVID. And of course, the libs are blaming him for going maskless at the Tulsa Trump rally. We'll be back. I'll play the song for you. Don Henley, Merle Haggard.
Well, they also, blame the police because people want to burn down a courthouse.
Yep. Stan and Haney.
Fred and Barney, Siegfried and Roy, Ralph and Norton, Stan and Haney. You gotta be shitting me. You can't pay me enough to say this. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney. We'll have the audio grab bag for you coming up here in just a second.
But you're gonna do the right thing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna play the Don Henley song.
Now, you said the whole thing's good, but there was one in particular that grabbed you.
There's more than one that grabbed me.
Uh-oh.
This, I wouldn't say, is my most favorite.
Then why would you play it?
It's because it's the words. This is a real country-ass song. It's got the steel guitar in it, and it's got Merle coming in, singing the words. Don Henley said, I had him in mind when I... did the album and wrote the song. And this album has been staring at me for 5 years. And for some damn reason, I said, I'm going to take it and give it a listen. And it's affected me. I think that the whole album is fantastic. Here's Don Henley and Merle Haggard singing The Cost of Living. Very country. The words. I love the words of this song.
Are they true?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. Some folks don't like working hard. Some folks don't like rain. Some folks love to tell you all about their aches and pains. Me, I take the hand I'm dealt, and I play it as it lays. It's the cost of living, and everyone pays.
You can't live in memories of all your golden yesterdays, or spend your whole life grieving for the one that got away. Common sense says let her go, but your heart disobeys. If the cost of living,
it's the cost of living,
and everyone pays.
Blue shadows fall all around me. Still, I don't regret a single day. See, the time can be unkind, but I know every wrinkle, and I earned every line. So wear it like a royal crown, and you get old and gray. It's the cost of living. Everyone pays. It's the cost of living, and everyone pays.
Very good, just a little tune. This whole album is good. The whole thing is effing good. What my favorite on there is Take a Picture of This.
5 years.
5 years.
You it's walk been past it every day.
Every day.
You know what? I'm hesitant to admit this, but that happened to me once.
What? Seeing an album?
Mm-hmm.
And never gave it a second thought?
It's when I was fairly new here and, low man on the totem pole. And you can remember the old days when we'd go into the program director's office and rifle through any new CDs that came in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one CD that sat on top of a filing cabinet. And not that anyone else cares, but this would have gone all the way back to when Brad was PD.
Mm-hmm.
And I always looked at it, and I knew the man's name, but didn't think about asking about that CD, because at that point, me asking for a CD put a little too big of a spotlight on me and might lead to, what is it you do here again? Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing. It sat in the same spot in the program director's office for years. And finally, there were, I think, multiple regime changes. And I finally asked someone, not him, but another program director. This thing has been sitting on this filing cabinet for years. Do you mind if I take it and listen to it? I'll even bring it back if you want me to. Don't worry about it. Take it. You know what that CD was?
What?
John Prine.
Yep. And the rest is history.
And not just any John Prine, but what turned out to be my favorite mm-hmm. John Prine record of all time.
And Walking Down the Street?
Yep.
Like Lucky LaRue?
Yep. So I feel bad, but at least I eventually did it. You walked past that one longer than I did.
Yep. Yeah. It's the whole thing is good. Some of them sound like it could be the Eagles. Others are just...
But doesn't that just blow your mind?
Yeah. It's become my new favorite album. There you go.
And the idea that for 5 years, you've walked past it multiple times a day.
Every day I saw it. Every day.
Damn, Henley CD.
Get this thing out of my sight. I'll take it and pop it in. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples.
I can't even imagine life without that John Prine record.
I know.
So good find, Stan.
Thank you, Haiti. It's time for more marriage advice from the divorced guy.
And now it's time for marriage advice from a divorced guy.
Sometimes a wife will ask for some alone time. And when you give it to her, later you'll find out that she was at a hotel with your single contractor buddy, Carl.
That was today's marriage advice from a divorced guy.
You know, why is it it's always shocking to a man when a woman is unfaithful?
Well, shouldn't be.
Women expect you to be unfaithful.
Yes.
So that if it happens, they're not surprised at all. They'll tell you, I knew the whole time, you rat bastard, you couldn't be trusted. A man is truly surprised.
And he shouldn't be, because I think they do it more often.
Oh, yeah. They're just better at it.
Yep. Did you ever think, Haney, that the onion would sound like real news?
This year, yes.
You probably have quite a few opinions about what's going on in the news cycle right now. But it's important to remember one thing. You're wrong. Here's why. To start, you're completely missing the point, and everything you think is actually at odds with reality when you look at the data. In fact, you're nowhere close to being accurate. It's simple to understand when you stop for a second and actually look at the issues. Once you open your eyes, you'll see that you're wrong about each and every one of them. Wrong, 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 wrong. But what about this other thing I heard? No. If the past is any indication of the future, not only is there no chance that you'll ever be right, all signs suggest you will never even come close once in your lifetime. The only way you'll ever be right is to repeat everything I say, word for word, to every single person you know.
Got that, Junior?
Yeah. Did you learn something from that?
I could ask the same about you guys.
Don't even.
No, you can't.
Don't even. We're the host of the show.
You know what? We go easy on you, but you know, there's a concept among males called dominance. Hierarchy. Yep.
Silverbacks.
Yep. Now, we've adopted you into our tribe. But you understand, if you want to take over, there's only one way.
A beatdown?
A blood challenge.
Yep, blood challenge.
Blood challenge.
And that's when the fangs come out.
Yep.
Sorry, I need to learn my place.
Guess what?
Well, you'll be allowed to back down at the last minute.
Yep, and walk away.
Because you're young.
Yep. You'll live to fight another day.
And it probably stand and just snort at you then.
Yep. According to Whammo, this year with all the pools and everything being beaches closed, according to Whammo, slip and slides are sold out.
Okay, everybody, come outside. Everybody ready for a wild wet ride?
Slip, slip and slide. You can put it on your lawn. Turn the water on.
See, stuff like this is what made Stan what he is.
Slip, slip and slide. Slip, slip and slide.
It's a lot of fun to play when the spray goes all the way.
Slip, slip and slide.
Yeah.
Let's move in an orderly direction and have some approved fun, people. Whammo wouldn't put this out if it was dangerous.
That's right. They mean well. This was viral a couple of years ago. It's gone viral again. What are you hearing?
Wait a second. I didn't. Things go viral twice now?
Yep. New group of people find it. What are they saying? Brainstorm or green needle? What are you hearing, Junior? What are you hearing?
Green needle.
See, there, it's got to be something in the brain. It's brainstorm.
I hear someone firing up a Dremel tool.
There we go.
Do they say what it is?
No, and people hear different things.
Because it's not actual speech?
You'll either hear brainstorm or green needle, depending on which one you're thinking about when you listen.
Definitely green needle.
It sounds like nonsense to me.
Total.
See, that's the trick, Junior. If you treat nonsense as if it's important information, you're in trouble.
Oh, okay.
A guy in the UK pranked his ex-girlfriend by putting up signs and asking people to call her number and do a Chewbacca impression. They're broken up. Her reply to it, it was a little overwhelming, but I do see the humor in it.
I thought it was quite a funny, actually. I thought it was a good joke. Just pull it down, please, and yeah, have a laugh for me. And if you want to make a phone call, go for it. I don't mind. Bring it on.
Need to introduce her to D-Train.
Yeah. Oh, he.
But he can't do it on. He can't do it on purpose.
No.
Only when he yawns.
Yep.
And Junior, you better improve your attitude, son.
What do you mean?
I mean, you just better improve your attitude, or you're never going to get your X-wing out of the swamp.
Sorry, Master.
This is, I don't know how I would react to this.
That's odd, because usually you do.
Today is National Cheesecake Day. Now, a guy in Santa Monica, California was eating some fettuccine Alfredo at the Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory, I wonder if they've ever quantified it, but it has to be one of the largest regular menus of any place.
Because it's a restaurant, I mean, but you get the cheesecake too.
No, but I mean, you can get anything there. Like, if you want barbecue, you can get barbecue. You want pasta, you want seafood. They got just anything you can think of.
This guy from Santa Monica was eating some fettuccine Alfredo at the Cheesecake Factory. What happened?
I understand that things happen, but there has to be some type of responsibility. My husband was eating his fettuccine Alfredo, and he took a bite, and he thought it was hard chicken or some overcooked, you know, cheese. Come to find out, it was a latex glove that had been melted into the food. My husband's diabetic. Oops. And high risk. Immediately, it's like this pit in the bottom of your stomach.
A melted rubber glove in your fettuccine Alfredo.
Oops. Just don't say anything. Nobody will know. I want to test your memory.
Okay.
Because you jogged something there with fettuccine Alfredo.
Yeah.
Do you remember, and this is years and years ago, we had a woman who wrote a cookbook called Recipes to Kill Your Husband.
I don't remember.
And she had a recipe in there called Fettuccine to Kill Alfredo.
No, I don't remember that.
I think it's back in the old days, you, me, and Joe. And I was the one that was supposed to test it out. And my wife was not a very good cook. But she agreed to make this fettuccine to kill Alfredo according to the recipe. It was the best fettuccine Alfredo you'd ever want to have. Because basically her recipes were all things that were supposed to be just unbelievably unhealthy, loaded with fat and sugars.
You find the book? Did you find the book online, Junior?
What was it called again?
It's like Recipes to Kill Your Husband, and the one I ate was called Fettuccine to Kill Alfredo. And it was the best pasta I ever had in my life. And the lady told us, well, yeah, they are actually tasty recipes, but you probably wouldn't want to eat them often.
Cambridge, Massachusetts is just outside Boston. It's in the Boston metropolitan area.
I know. I watched Fringe.
And it is one of the most lib cities in the country.
But aren't there a lot of roughnecks around there that won't put up with that nonsense?
Not in that part. You got to go to other parts. Officials in Cambridge. I almost going to regret saying this. Officials in Cambridge want to have unarmed civilians conduct traffic stops instead of the police.
Good luck with
part
that.
Part of the Good luck. Scaling back. Mm-hmm. They went and asked some people of Cambridge, what would you think about unarmed civilians doing traffic stops?
I think it's a little wacky, don't you? I mean, it's just, you know, what are the cops for? That's what the cops are here for. That's part of their job description. Yeah, that'd be kind of crazy, I think. Going up to some of these cars and you get the black windows, you don't know what you're going up against. A little scary.
I don't hate the idea.
If they were going okay, to Junior.
Yeah, I think I prefer traffic stops to happen without firearms involved.
When a policy comes our way and my way, I never am like, this is bogus. You have to research and think about it and how the pros and the cons and weigh that. But above all, you know, is it legal? All these questions. I'm an attorney, so that's what I'll ask.
Of course you will.
So what happens when the unarmed civilian stops someone for a traffic infraction and notices visibly that there's back seats full of drugs and on the passenger seat there are multiple automatic firearms?
Yeah, what do you do then? Then you got to call the real police, and in that time, this guy gets away.
And you're dead.
And you're dead.
I think it's a good idea that there's no police, no weapons.
Or it would go this way. Sir, do you know why I stopped you today? Yeah, MF-er. I'm in a hurry to get somewhere. Can't you see I got a business meeting? Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and issue a stern written warning here.
This will show you.
Now, make sure you get safely to your business meeting, yes. But let's slow it down.
And have a good day.
We'll be back.
Thank you, mother...
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
If you had a friend who was a king, what kind of a gift would you give him? Well, there are many people of prominence who have been thrilled to receive this.
Stan and Haney.
The world's most exciting radio.
96.
The quality goes in before the name goes on.
K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We got the local beat coming up here in just a little bit. Also, a chance for you to win as we're going to play a new game. And I'm going to include Junior and Haney in this, as well as the caller. The caller is the only one who can win. And it's a game called Who Said It? I'm going to give you a quote, tell you if it's a sports figure, a historical figure, an entertainment figure. And I'm going to give you the quote and give you four different people that may have said the quote. We'll let the caller guess. Let Haney guess. Let Junior guess. Each one of you callers will have your own individual question. You get it right, you're going to win a prize. Question of the week.
If I get it right, what happens?
Nothing. You don't win a prize. It's just the satisfaction of knowing. And you should get some satisfaction in that because you got beat in Smarter Than Haney yesterday.
Okay. I just saw the results of a survey done by CBS News.
Yes.
I want to ask you two questions, Stan.
Yes.
Do you think it is acceptable for professional athletes to kneel during the national anthem?
I do not.
Do you support their right to do so?
I do not.
So you think that they should be, like, arrested if they do it?
No.
Should they have the right to do that?
No. They work for an employer. if they want to do it on their own time, that's fine. I don't care.
But would you agree that they're two different questions?
Yes.
This is how they manipulate things. And there is something going on. They do not want racial harmony in this country.
No, they don't. This is what makes news for them. That's why they have. That's why we have all these news things stirred up.
So the CBS poll, here's how they publish the results. Most Americans, 58%, believe professional athletes kneeling during the anthem is an acceptable form of protest. However, the results still indicated divisions along political and racial lines. White respondents, 52%, believe it's unacceptable. Now, notice how it's worded there with white respondents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen closely to this. The majority of Black, 88%, and Hispanic Americans, 62%, say they supported an athlete's right to kneel during the national anthem.
Two different things.
I find it unacceptable for them to kneel, but me personally, I support their right to do so.
Yeah, if they want to go and do it somewhere else other than my place of business, if I'm the owner of a sports team.
But, you know, you're talking in broad theoretical
right.
terms.
But it's phrased differently there.
I don't like them doing it, but do I think that they shouldn't be allowed to? No, that's not what the country's about. But it's almost like they've merged it into one question, mm-hmm. and unless you're reading very close, like a lawyer, you're not going to make that out.
It's called manipulating data to fit your thesis.
I don't like that one bit.
And that's common practice. Wrong, but common practice.
Don't appreciate that one bit.
Nor do I. Junior has no opinion on it. He just thinks that everybody should be nice.
See, I don't have a problem with the truth.
Right.
Even if I don't like it.
Right. Tell me the truth, though. Don't manipulate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You can't manipulate this, our local beat. And this one's, I have a personal experience with what happened here. This was from our friends at NBC2, had this story. And I think you know this as well, Haney. If not from personal experience, just common sense. There is a difference between a cow and a bull.
Is this up for debate? Or
there is a difference between a cow and a charging bull. A bull will kill you. I grew up on a farm and we had cows that had to be kept in one pasture and a bull that was kept in another pasture.
Well, that's just misogyny. It's the patriarchy, Stan.
Yeah, or prevent death. This bull was so mean, you didn't dare go into the corral where it was at, and we had to put electric wire around the fence to keep him in. I caught him one day lying down, chewing his cud, up against the electric fence, and I said, somebody must have thrown the switch off on the electric fence.
He's getting a massage.
He's just lying up against it, let me touch the electric fence. It was on. And then he had a wet nose, and he'd come up to the electric fence, and the water on his nose would conduct with the electric fence and do the little sparks.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't bother him.
It's fun for him.
It was something new. From NBC2. Headline. Deputies stop runaway charging bull in Immokalee. Deputies.
Well, luckily, if it was going to happen, let it happen there. Because as far as I know, our highest concentration of bullfighters locally are in Immokalee.
I wouldn't doubt that. Deputies helped stop a runaway charging bull in Immokalee yesterday. According to the Collier County Sheriff's Office, members of the Sheriff's Office Agricultural Bureau were on patrol after 5 p.m. when they were notified of a loose cow on State Road 29 near Johnson Road. Loose cow.
No problem.
No problem.
Come on, Bessie. Let's go home.
When they got to the area, they found that the animal was not a cow, but actually a bull.
How much can a bull weigh?
This bull, they estimated at 1,200 pounds of beef. Mean beef.
Topped with horns.
Topped with horns. And they know how to use them, too. Deputies realized that they had a situation here. They called for their horses and climbed on their horses, which were in a trailer nearby, and tried, God bless them, tried to rope the bull.
Well, that's fun. That'll spice up the day.
A little bull roping.
Yeah. Do a little cowboying out there.
It charged the deputies. In fact, the bull charged the deputies several times before they were able to get a rope around the animal. This, again, according to the Collier County Sheriff's Office.
This is two deputies on horseback.
Yeah, it said, I don't know if it specified how many deputies. Deputies were sent out to the area and decided to get their horses.
Ginger.
He up there. it charged the officers several times before they got a rope around the animal. They had to go and hold the animal down with the rope on it to tie off the bull's feet. I don't wish this on anybody. They're mean. After tying the bull's feet, they loaded it onto a stock trailer, and the animal was returned to its home.
No.
You don't have anything to do with them. Don't have any. I mean, these were trained deputies that with the Agricultural Bureau, but they too were probably wondering, are we going to get out of this? And what happens is the bull will, while he's charging you and doing all that kind of stuff, he will defecate too and urinate everywhere. They smell, they're capable of anything, and they want you dead.
Yet people that haven't grown up as you did, they don't think twice about it.
Oh, let's go pet the cow.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no big deal. Until you find yourself in a position where you're away from your vehicle, you're away from your technology, you're away from any way to defend yourself, and you find yourself up against a bull, then, by God, then you'll know.
And let me, and I'll answer this first. Anybody that basically grew up in the city, never got near a farm, is it like in the cartoons when the
bull takes its hoof and scrapes the ground before it charges. Yeah, that's true. It does that. It'll scrape the ground, let you know, shake its head around, and then he'll charge at you. Now, their vision isn't the best, but they know what they're doing.
Well,
and their head is as hard as a rock.
And head as hard as a rock, topped by horns, 1,200 pounds, coming at your unprotected body at speed.
Oh, you'll be thrown 40 feet in the air. I'm going to give you a chance to win when we come back.
I mean, that would be on the level of being far worse than a motorcycle accident.
Absolutely. We're going to play Who Said It. Everybody plays. Only the caller can win. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin.
Feast and famine.
War and peace and everything in between. Don't think for a minute we don't appreciate it. No matter how we may come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to give you a chance to win here in just a second with Stan. The Who Said This. Hold on. Half hour away from your first look at traffic news headlines. Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, question of the week in an hour.
I got it, Stan.
What?
How would you like to be a TV producer?
Sure.
We got to get like some stationery or something that makes us sound big.
Yeah, professional.
Yeah, look like we're somebody.
Yeah.
Because I have a surefire hit sitcom. We don't even have to write the script for it. All we got to do is pitch the idea, and then they'll have the writers do it.
Yeah, sounds like an episode of Seinfeld.
Does it?
Yeah, because Jerry and what's his name, George, had an idea for a sitcom about nothing, and they pitched it to NBC, and they bought.
Well, then, here we go.
All right.
All-American sitcom. We haven't had one in years.
Yeah, what is it?
This is going to be huge.
Okay.
The Conways.
Well, Kellyanne Conway and her left-leaning husband?
Yes.
And the kids that do the videos and say nothing.
Yeah,
bad.
Let me see if I can give you just a little... production value. Needs something kind of wacky. Maybe this will work. Kellyanne Conway is counselor to the President of the United States. Her husband, George, is one of his leading opponents. Yet they're married. And they have a 15-year-old daughter named Claudia.
Who won't keep her mouth shut.
In this week's episode, George and Kellyanne take away Claudia's phone. She's not happy, and she lets Twitter know about it.
That's good.
I think Mom, I want my phone back, Dad. I want... Well, Claudia, can you be responsible with your phone? I promise, Daddy. As soon as Claudia gets her phone back, what does she do? She gets back on Twitter and tweets at AOC, please adopt me. And AOC responds. Tune in Tuesday night at 8. What do you think?
It's not a sitcom, it's real life. It's real life, which is like a sitcom with that family.
How do we do that? How do we make that happen? Because that's it. That's how you make money. The scripts, the filming, the actors, that's all hard work.
You just pitch the idea.
Junior, get on it.
All right.
Isn't that what we do? Delegate?
Yeah.
How's the progress coming on the sitcom, Junior?
I'm on the phone with NBC right now.
Okay, great.
You got a piece of paper and a pen because you're going to write your answers down. Haney's going to write his answers down. Everybody's going to get a chance to play while questions last.
And what's the name of this?
This is Stan's
who said it. And it's going to be, I'm going to give you a quote, a famous quote, and I'm going to tell you what a field of work or a line of work they're in. Your job, it's multiple choice. Tell me who said it. Now, when I ask the question and I say who said it, I need some music, like good anticipation music.
As how's this?
No. I need some kind of music when I say...
Tell me when to stop.
Okay. No.
Too upbeat.
That's better.
You want to stop
dramatic,
there?
A little dramatic.
You want to stop with that one?
All right, that's good. Okay.
But that's only after you ask the question.
Yes. As they're thinking about it and you're writing down your answers. I have multiple quotes. Everybody's going to get a shot at this. You answer correctly, you're going to win a prize. Incorrectly, it's done.
And or we could go with this.
Or we're going to let Haney. No. No. I like the other one better. We'll let Haney and Junior answer too. Phone lines are released. 277-9600.
This is your main theme.
Sure. That's fine. You're going to get a quote. You tell me, through multiple choice, who said it.
Who said it?
Up for grabs. A Stan and Haney 96K Rock t-shirt, signed or unsigned. $50 to the pewter mug. Maybe you'd like a gift certificate to Twin Cuts. Four locations to serve you. Men's cuts, women's cuts, beard trims, kids' cuts, and hair coloring. Or telescoping back scratchers. I'm going to make that just a little brighter. Everybody gets a chance to play while there's questions. Let's go to our first caller. Ahoy, who's this?
It's Cliff.
Cliff, are you ready for your quote? You're going to tell me who said it, okay?
Go ahead.
All right, Cliff. Haney, Jr., write your answers down. Cliff, which historical figure said, quote, impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. Impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. Was it Adolf Hitler? Barack Obama, Napoleon Bonaparte, or Robert E. Lee? Junior, Haney, write your answers down. Think about that one. Think about it. Hitler, Barack Obama, Napoleon Bonaparte, Robert E. Lee. Historical figure. Impossible is a word to be found only in the dictionary of fools. You can put it down. I'll ask what it is. All right, buddy. What do you think? Who do you think it is? Is it Hitler, Obama, Napoleon, or Robert E. Lee?
Robert E. Lee.
That is incorrect. What did you have, Haney? Napoleon. What you had? Napoleon is the correct answer. Nice job. Nice job, panelists. Nice job, stars. 277-9600. Who said it? Who said it? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Todd.
Todd?
Yep.
All right, Todd, here's yours. Junior, Haney, get ready to write your answers down. And I'll give you your multiple choice.
Okay.
Todd, which scientist said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Was it A, Albert Einstein, B, Stephen Hawking, C, Charles Darwin, or D, Louis Pasteur? Imagination is more important than knowledge. Junior's writing, Haney's writing. Todd, who do you think it is?
I think it's Stephen Hawking.
Todd says Stephen Hawking. Did you write your answer down, Junior? What did you say? Darwin? And Haney, you wrote your answer down? Haney's correct. Albert Einstein. Sorry, Todd. Very good. You're 2 for 2, Haney. 277-9600. Who said it? Who said it? 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan and Haney. How you guys doing? It's John.
John, you ready for yours?
Yes, sir.
All right, John. Junior, Haney, get your pen and paper ready. I want to know who said this. We are not makers of history. It's an... tell you who it is, the line of work. Which American minister said, we are not the makers of history, we are made by history. We are not the makers of history, we are made by history.
And it's an American...
American minister. Now think about that. I'm going to let Junior and Haney write their answers down. Here's the multiple choice. Was it the Reverend Billy Graham? Was it the Reverend Billy Sunday? Was it the Reverend Pat Robertson? Or was it the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.? Let them write their answers down. We are not the makers of history. We are made by history. John, was it Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Sunday, Pat Robertson, or Martin Luther King Jr.?
I'm going to say Martin Luther King Jr.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, sir.
Haney, what did you write down? MLK, what did you write down, Junior? The Reverend Billy Sunday. Haney and you, John, are correct. It was Martin Luther King Jr. What would you like?
I would love an autographed T-shirt for the man cave.
You got it, buddy. Hold the line, okay?
Thank you, guys.
That's how the game's played. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, let's go. Let's go to
how am I doing so far?
You are. You know what? You've answered every one of them. We've had 3 so far. You're 3 for 3, Haney. Redeeming yourself big time from yesterday.
I don't even remember going down.
Yep. I don't even remember what round it was. All right, here we go. Let's go to another caller. Ahoy, who's this?
Norm.
Norm, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good.
You want to play?
Yeah.
All right, you got to speak up for me. Get right on that receiver. It sounds like you got a lousy phone.
Okay.
Much better, Norm. Much better.
All right.
Here's your quote. You tell me who said it. I'll give you 4 choices. Which royal said, British women can't cook? British women can't cook. Was it A, Queen Elizabeth? Was it B, Meghan Markle? Was it C, Prince Philip? Or D, Henry VIII? Which royal said, British women can't cook? What do you think, Norm?
I'm going to go with...
I'll give them to you again if you're not too sure. You want to hear the choices again?
Please. Yes, please.
Which royal said, British women can't cook? Was it Queen Elizabeth, Meghan Markle, Prince Philip, or King Henry VIII?
I'm going to go with King Henry VIII.
All right. Norm says King Henry VIII. Stars, what did you write down? Mark Haney? Henry VIII? Queen Elizabeth? You're all wrong. You're all wrong. Sorry. You're all wrong. It was Queen Elizabeth's husband, Prince Philip, said, royal women can't cook.
No, you said British women.
British women can't cook.
I know that his wife strongly disagrees with him.
The royal said, "Which British women can't cook." It was said by Prince Philip. Prince Philip.
How would he know?
I don't know. That was, he said it, though. Sorry, Norm. Right,
it here. May have been the Queen Mum, but there was a quote from either her or the Queen that I think my mom had it on some little knick-knack in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it said, things taste better in small houses.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. That's a nice thing. Let's get another one. Ahoy, who's this?
Dan.
What's your first name? Dan?
Dan. Yes.
Dan, all right, here's yours, Dan. You ready for your quote?
You got it.
All right, and we're going to let Junior and Haney write their answers down. Which,
okay.
Here you go. Listen carefully. Which sportsman said his hands can't hit what his eyes can't see? Now you see me, now you don't. Who said that? Here's the choices. Stars, write down your answers too. Was it A, Muhammad Ali, B, Floyd Mayweather Jr., C, LeBron James, or D, Wayne Gretzky? Which sportsman said his hands can't hit what his eyes can't see? Now you see me, now you don't. Haney's already done. Junior's finished up. I go to you, Dan. Which sportsman said that?
Stan, I believe that was Muhammad Ali.
All right. You're gonna. Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Haney? Ali, Junior, Ali, you're all three correct. It was Muhammad Ali. It proceeded, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. What would you like?
You got any pewter mug left?
I do have a pewter mug. Would you like it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
You deserve
what?
It.
What?
You deserve it. What?
Stan identifies as a man. Okay?
What did you say? What did
you say? You just never know.
What did he say?
Ma'am.
You said ma'am?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Do we need to go over Stan's preferred pronouns again?
Again.
Thought we were over that.
And don't question my truth. That was Muhammad Ali. The full quote was, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. His hands can't hit what his eyes can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. If history goes back,
always remember, gargle with scope. Yeah.
Boudini Brown really wrote all that stuff for him.
Really?
Yes.
Who was Boudini Brown?
His second man in the corner. He would be the one always yelling, and when he would do his rhymes...
So Boudini Brown, he wasn't a professional writer or anything. He was in the fight game.
Yeah.
He just came up with all this stuff.
Yeah, he was... Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
He was very... Look him up. His son was quite successful.
I always thought that those were Ali's.
No, sir. Boudini.
The guy. Really?
Yes. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Jeremy.
Jeremy, you ready for yours?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jeremy. Let me get your name down here. We'll let the stars, again, they will write down their answers. You keep yours in your head. Let them write it down, and we'll see how we do here. All right, Jeremy, here's your stars. Get ready to write it down. Which filmmaker said, all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them? All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Was that Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Walt Disney, or Cecil B. DeMille? All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Junior, you get yours written down there? Haney, you're all set? Jeremy, who do you think said that? Spielberg, George Lucas, Walt Disney, or Cecil B. DeMille?
I'm going to go with Walt Disney.
All right. Is that your final answer?
Yes, sir.
All right. Haney says Spielberg, and Junior says Disney. Junior and Jeremy are correct. It was Walt Disney.
Sounds much more like something Spielberg would say.
What would you like, buddy?
What do you have to offer?
I have... Let's see what we got left. I've got a pewter mug. I've got signed Stan and Haney t-shirt. A telescoping back scratcher. And I can get you a haircut at Twin Cuts. Four locations to serve you.
Can I do the pewter mug, please?
Yes, you may. Hold the line. Hold on. There you go. Anybody else want to play? 277-9600. Opportunity to play. I got a time for maybe one more maximum to do this. 277-9600. Chance to win it. Well, Peter Mugg's all gone. I'm going to tell you that right now. Got Twin Cuts, got Stan and Haney signed t-shirt, got telescoping back scratchers. If you can answer the quote correctly, 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Kyle.
Kyle, want to play?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Write your answer down, Junior and Haney. Kyle, let them write their answer down, and we'll see who's right. If you're right, you're going to get a prize.
All right.
All right. Listen carefully. Which historical figure said the famous lines, I'm telling you, I came, I saw, I conquered? Was that General Douglas MacArthur, Julius Caesar, George Washington, or General George S. Patton? I came, I saw, I conquered. Junior, you got yours written down there? Haney, you all set on that? We go to Kyle. Kyle, which historical figure said, I came, I saw, I conquered? MacArthur, Caesar, Washington, or Patton?
I'm going to say Patton.
Final answer?
Yeah.
All right. Haney, what did you write down? Julius Caesar. What did you write down? Patton. Haney is right. It was Julius Caesar.
Benny Vidi Vici.
Sorry, buddy. Yep, that's exactly right. All right, what we these phones still aren't right. I just saw all the lines go out. And then they got to recycle in 60 seconds, and then I can take them again.
Just as long as you internalize that it's somehow your fault, you'll be fine.
Let me go into. We got one more. Ahoy, who's this?
Floyd.
Floyd?
Boyd.
Boyd.
Boyd?
Yes, sir.
All right, Boyd.
Like a Boyd.
Like a Boyd. Boyd.
All right,
all right, here we go. Let Junior and Haney write their answers down.
All right.
Which entrepreneur said, my favorite things in life don't cost any money? It's really clear that the most precious resource we have is time. Which entrepreneur said, my favorite things in life don't cost any money? It's really clear that the most precious resource we all have is time. Good phones. You got yours done? Oh, I got to give you the choices. Is it Steve Jobs, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, or Richard Branson? Who said, my favorite things in life don't cost any money? It's really...
Steve Musk.
Hold it a second. Did I ask for your answer yet?
No.
All right, good. And I had to reconsider. Which entrepreneur said, my favorite things in life don't cost any money? It's really clear that the most precious resource we have is time. Jobs, Bezos, Musk, or Branson? Haney, what did you write down? Branson. Junior. What did you write down? Branson as well. And you say what, Boyd?
Branson.
You're wrong. It was Steve Jobs.
No, that Jobs. Was tough because any one of them would say
of
that.
Of course. But that was a...
Anybody good... with money will say that to you.
That was
and expect you to sit back and take it.
Take it. Right. You can say that. I can't.
Yeah. And I figured out of the bunch, I perceived Branson to be the most pompous.
No, it was Steve Jobs that said that. All right, we're going to take a break. Congratulations to our winners. Junior and Haney did very well. They did very well in the game. We're Stan and Haney.
Well, Junior did well.
Yes, you did better.
Very well.
Very, very, very well. We'll be back.
All women are crazy, except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get your headlines from Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails.
I wanted to ask you something.
Yeah.
Because you follow things more than I do. I can only pay attention to football. I like the college game. I like the pro game. But in regard to COVID, I know that you follow baseball closely. I don't think either of us give a crap about the NBA anymore. But have you heard how they're doing?
The NBA?
Or baseball? Just, are they
NBA?
Are they playing?
NBA's doing just great because they're in the bubble. The National Hockey League has been playing exhibition games as they get ready for their round-robin playoff runs. They have not had a single player test positive for COVID. Baseball, there has been some changes.
Big problems with the Marlins, like 14 people.
Yes.
But only after they went to Philly.
And because games with the Marlins were postponed, thus causing postponed games with the Phillies, Major League Baseball announced that because there's not going to be an equal number of games played, that the playoffs for Major League Baseball
will be determined by coin toss
winning percentage. And if you take that into consideration, the Marlins, I think, have a 666 winning percentage.
Oh, geez.
Which would allow them to get into the playoffs, even if they never played another game. There's the brilliance. We're going to go on winning percentage because not all teams are going to play the same amount of games.
What do you think the odds are that we get a real full NFL season?
I can't see how, with all the contact and travel in the NFL, that you don't get cases of COVID and that there isn't at least a brief stoppage during the season. College football, some conferences aren't playing. Other conferences are playing only division schools.
What about the conference schools? Do we know about the SEC?
SEC, I think, who released their, did the ACC release their schedule today?
I've not heard anything about college.
One of the big conferences released their schedule, and it's going to be pared down like 10 games, and only conference games.
So not everybody will be playing. So we'll have a national champion out of whoever chooses to play.
Most of the major conferences have not even released their schedules. They have a pre-COVID schedule released, but in all of this stuff, they're reworking them.
But doesn't college generally kick off at least a week or two before the NFL?
Yes, they do. It's coming up close. Let me see which one released their schedule. One of the
There's too much money involved for them to back off of that, I would think.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to go. Oh, look at this. Phillies have two positive tests for
Well, you would COVID. Think so if they infected the whole friggin' Marlins team.
Postpone games with the Blue Jays. And let's see. College football. Who released their schedule?
Well, I see Tennessee has a schedule, so the SEC must.
Yeah.
ACC schedule
ACC, yep.
Includes Notre Dame.
So there you go. I mean, they're really looking hard at their schedules. Coming up in less than 1 hour.
SEC
yeah.
is moving closer towards following in the Big Ten, ACC, and Pac-12's footsteps by canceling all of its non-conference games in favor of a 10-game SEC schedule. All right.
Let's take a look at some headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
I'm sorry to tell you, we have multiple items today that fall into that category of products that, as far as I'm aware, no one asked for, but they'll be available. And I kind of don't want to spoil them. So I'll tell you that in less than an hour on the news.
Yep.
We like to keep up with the latest dating terms.
Oh, yeah. We usually hear them for the first time. Junior already knows them.
I wonder if Junior knows what woke fishing is. Well, if he doesn't, he'll find out.
Woke fishing?
Yep. And finally, a couple in Massachusetts was busted on Monday morning for going on a new dog walk.
All right.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter is very important. That's why we now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies?
Hi, renters. You know, it's always a good idea to maintain a cordial relationship with your landlord.
Absolutely.
With that in mind, we bring you today's helpful list of the
top
things you should not say to your landlord.
Top things you should not say to your landlord.
Are you cool if I get a roommate and a pet tiger?
Oh my God! Oh!
Sorry to bother you at this late hour, sir, but could you repair my shower handle? It seems to have broken as I was using it for leverage during sex with your wife.
With your wife?
That is such a loaded word.
Yep.
Just four little letters
yep.
there.
Yep.
You can't make me pay a pet deposit because my 12 cats are all registered emotional support animals.
Yep. So is your wife.
Oh, God.
Hope you don't mind, but I hired a realtor and the house is now in escrow.
Yeah.
Living in America.
Yeah, I need a ceiling repair in the bedroom. Evidently had too many people on the old sex swing.
Along with your wife. Hot word.
Dude, thanks for fixing the sink, but you really should use some of that rent money on deodorant.
It is ma'am. Thinking about that one?
I don't feel isolated at all now that I've started breeding baby rats.
Bunch of bitches.
What was that all about? Hit that again.
Bunch of bitches.
There it goes.
Almost like he didn't have it tuned in right.
Yep.
Bunch of bitches.
Will chlorine kill the hot tub chlamydia?
I've just about had enough of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, the top thing you should not say to your landlord.
Yes.
No loud music? Well, I'm not sure that chain smokers technically qualify as musicians.
Shame.
See, there it is. He doesn't have it tuned in right.
You know, you might have a loose wire over there.
What are you, receiving them on AM?
Shame!
No, it's still there.
Shame!
There you go.
Shame!
And that, my friend.
Shame!
Elvis!
Stop it now. I'm asking you to
stop that.
I'm asking you to stop that
what
now.
What the hell is that?
Reconnect or something over there. Or I have to come over there and do it myself.
The phones, the computers.
Oh, it's everything. Everything.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. They're all junk.
Let's take a look at email. Ahoy.
What the hell is that?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
What are we tuning in? WOR? What's the problem?
Come on. Come on.
Tuning Tokyo.
Okay.
All right, you need to go and get an engineer. Get somebody that knows what's
going on. Have you been downloading
Yes.
Something that's
yes, he has been
inappropriate.
Don't put that on the airwaves.
You know, you were banned from Tinder for a reason.
Figure out what's going on there. This is from Mike. Mike writes, "Ahoy, guys. I'm one of your Montana stick pin listeners. I left Florida 10 years ago and have been listening since the beginning. I just finally got around to Tuesday's podcast. It's total BS that you guys weren't nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame.
I don't know how these things work.
I'm an over-the-road trucker and heard just about every morning and afternoon show in this country. You are the best. Thank God I discovered your podcasts and got you guys back. I wish I had a vote. P.S. Tell Junior to quit faking COVID and get the best ofs that you guys played while you were on vacation online. 2 weeks without you guys online sucks. Love you guys. You're the best by far."
You know what? That's a high compliment.
Yes, it is.
Because when you're a trucker and you got miles and miles to go, and we can kill some of that time.
That's our job.
I'm proud of that.
We're professional time killers, and we're proud of it. Anybody give you a response?
I was told to restart the computer.
There you go. This is from Scott. "Ahoy, guys. Haney, having watched the video of those monkeys in Thailand running amok, I have come to a couple of realizations and have a few questions. First, is that the monkeys seem to be learning a lot faster than Al Beck? And second, is that I need to rewatch the original five Planet of the Apes movies from the original ones, starring Chuck Heston, all the way through Battle of the Planet of the Apes circa 1973. All great movies, by the way. Now, in the future, after the monkeys have eventually overwhelmed us..."
And they will.
Yeah, oh yeah. "I was planning on rebuilding society according to the teachings of Ozzy Osbourne. I would, of course, include the Sabbath Ozzy catalog in the restart of humanity. Haney, I guess I'm wondering if this is the right course of action. Is there a better artist catalog to restart the new world?"
Well, that's subjective and debatable, but I think that you should restart society in a coastal area with a ready freshwater source. And as soon as you have the manpower and materials, you need to erect a large monument so that people know, hey, that means something. And if you're going with that catalog, I would do something called the Colossus of Rhodes, where you have Randy Rhodes with a gigantic, like, 30-foot guitar.
Thank you, Haney. Oh, this is our Miami pal, Carlos. "Ahoy, guys. I hope that you are doing good as always. I was jamming out to the YouTube video posted of I'm Doing Fine by Mark Haney and the Buzzards. I really enjoy the fact that I have a lot in common with you guys, but especially with you, Haney. I myself am a musician and was just like Haney in a rock band, having a blast, loving life. I was noticing, Haney, that you wore the tiger stripes camo pants with army boots, and I also have done the same thing out of pure coincidence. I thought I was the only one to do something like that for a gig. That was my style. But I see, Haney, you did too. That's awesome and made me feel happy to see. I was not the only one to dress like that for a gig. I always loved the show because we are very like-minded, and even though I haven't met you in person, I feel real friendship towards you guys. I'm glad you guys are keeping happy through these tough times. You guys rock. Keep it up. You too, Junior. Hope you have a wonderful day. Your pal, Carlos.
Thank you, Carlos. I learned from Tommy, it's always, when you've got a task, it's always nice to wear tactical pants, because you can fit an effects pedal.
Oh, a lot of stuff
cables.
There. Yeah.
Strings. All the picks you'd ever need. A rag.
Yeah.
All right there.
You guys need me to test anything now over there?
I see
we got all the mines melding over there. Do you want to try something?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead.
What's that? Oh, my God. Oh.
That sounds
sex
fine.
Sex machine, get up off of that thing. I feel good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What, it just been running too long?
I guess so. The motor was getting hot. Tubes were burning. This is
probably
from
a capacitor.
This is from our friend Meg.
How's she?
She's okay. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I loved your best of shows while you were on vacation. The show that played 2 weeks ago Tuesday was one of my favorites. You guys were talking about these Jenny Craig dropouts buying skinny jeans and how they have these week to month long birthday celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, common knowledge.
I hate to say it, Mothra is in her 60s and does the same thing. I remember listening to that episode with my dad when it first aired and the two of us laughing. All I can say is thank goodness my dad's second wife, who I will call Mom, is not like Mothra that raised me. She raised me to have morals and think for myself. Oh, by the way, I am a fan, and I don't just call myself a super fan. Or call myself a super fan. I to just stir the pot. Now, I call Scott the super fan, Meg.
So he's not a self-proclaimed super fan.
Right, or somebody that wants to stir the pot. Love you guys, signed Meg. When we come back, our question of the week. We're Stan and Haney.
What you're going to hear today is nothing short of a miracle. It's dramatically new, made possible only through years of research, invention, and innovation.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. I have phones on lockdown right now because it is Thursday, and that means our question of the week. It should trigger something in your brain, and you have the right answer. It is not a yes or no answer. It's your story. We'll post you the question of the week. We'll take a look at traffic, if there is any. I don't think there is. And then we'll take your phone calls to our question of the week. I'll answer. Haney will answer. Junior. And then we'll let you guys tell us. And this has got to be the most exclusive question of the week. Your answer is it's your truth. Because it was your life. Here's the question of the week, and then we'll take your phone calls. When you're a teenager growing up, your bedroom is your sanctuary. That's where you go to get away from it all.
That's your safe space.
It's your safe space. It's my truth. it's your way to just...
Stan's truth.
Yep. Now, when Haney and I were growing up, we didn't have computers and phones.
And we didn't have my truth. We had the truth.
Yep. And it was whose roof you were under.
Mm-hmm.
It's their truth.
Yep.
But it was so important. Think and pick a time anywhere, like, say, between the ages of 14 and 17. Our question of the week. And think about it. You got to visualize here. as a teenager, what might we find if we walked into your bedroom? Here's my bedroom. What might we find in there? 277-9600. As a teenager, say between the ages of 14 and 17, pick a year. What might we find if we walked into your bedroom?
Are you talking about in plain view?
Yeah, in plain view. I mean, to get a good bearing of what your bedroom was about. Oh, I'm supposed to kick this.
If it makes that noise, yeah, you kick it.
Yeah, evidently it's not working.
So you're not talking about things that you might have hidden?
No. Let me give you an example. Let's see if there's anything on the board. Nope, as I predicted, no traffic.
You did predict it.
Yeah, because somebody's taking the afternoon off at Traffic Central. We'll try again in a few minutes. Our question of the week. As a teenager, what might we find if we walked into your bedroom? Your sanctuary. And it is unique to generations. It is unique to male and female. As far as I'm concerned, if you walked into my bedroom, say, circa the age of 14, 15, here's what you'd find. You'd find about 5 or 6 hockey sticks in the corner of the room. A hex barrel 22 rifle on the wall. My dad's golf clubs. A kick-ass stereo system with 8-track player.
A lot of power?
Yes, sir. Oh. I had the 8-track. A 12-inch black and white TV and a life-size poster of Joe Frazier.
You had it going on.
I also had in that room a Victrola.
You had your own TV?
Yeah. 12-incher, black and white.
Wow.
Yeah. That was what was in Stan's
room. That was a dream.
Circa 1974-75. Rabbit ears. There was no such thing as cable where we lived.
Oh, of course. But still,
yeah.
You had your own television.
It was hot.
Who cares?
I know, I loved
Kids
it.
Didn't have their own TVs then.
12-inch black and white. If we walked into Haney's room, teenage Haney's room, say between the ages of 14 and 17, we walked in, what would we find in there?
You would find a stereo complete with 8-track, but yeah, not components, all built into one with not very much power because they didn't want me to be that
right.
loud. You'd see... You'd see Don't Look Back by Boston. You'd see The Long Run by the Eagles. You'd see the Star Wars soundtrack. And probably on the floor, you would see an ongoing game of Solo Risk.
Okay. Yes, all right.
Because I would plot global domination.
Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me.
Yep, and I always found nobody else that played Risk ever paid any attention to Kamchatka.
Junior.
But I always found it to be key.
Generations apart, you found out what was in Haney's room, what was in my room. What about a, 14, 15-year-old junior? Walk into your room, what would we see?
There's nothing really special. I mean, I just had a TV, video games. I had my drum set.
Color TV?
Yeah, it was an older TV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now,
it was a big box TV.
I had a video game console, but that was for the family room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there was difference between what was for the family and what was in your room.
I didn't have a TV or video games in my room.
Set of drums in your room?
Crazy? Yeah, my drums in my room.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, you would have seen my guitar and my amp that I still have to this day.
Yeah. A keyboard in there, maybe?
No, that was in the living room.
Okay. 277-9600. This has to do with the...
That is one thing that I think kids today have no idea. They couldn't comprehend how we lived.
Oh, no. That's what I want to find out. You heard what's in our rooms... Generation, of the sexes, male, female, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Now, there is a TV in my old room now.
Yeah, but it wasn't yours.
No, I mean, they put it in later. Yeah. It was not until my mid-20s that there was a TV in my room.
Ahoy, who's this?
Klaus.
Because I remember the first time I visited and it was in there, I go, you guys put a TV in my room? Yeah, what's the big deal?
Klaus, as a teenager, what might we find if we walked into your room when you were a teenager, say between the ages of 14 and 17?
Well, I'm the same age as you. I had some fresh box of Kleenex, some hand moisturizer, a picture of...
Well, you're sick. You hid that. Because if your mom was coming in the room, it wouldn't be around like that. And they'd send you...
You've got no sense of decorum.
Send you to a special doctor. He'd tell you, beware of the boogeyman. 277-9600. Ahoy! Ahoy, who's this?
Sure, Evan from Naples. How are you, Stan and Haney? What's going on?
Good, buddy. What was in your room as a teenager? If we walked in there, what would we see?
All right, so I'm 40 years old. You would see Metallica posters all up and down the walls, various CDs tacked to the walls, video game console.
What console?
PlayStation 2.
All right.
And then you'd see various... DVDs and movies just laying about the floor.
What was your favorite PS2 game?
Oh, God. Probably one of the Tony Hawk games, most likely.
Right on.
I appreciate the call. As we got that one from the dark side of the moon.
I always enjoyed... This was before Call of Duty, even Medal of Honor.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Chip. How you doing?
Chip, we're doing good. As a teenager, what was in your room? If Haney and I and Junior walked into your room as a 14, 15-year-old, what was in there?
And I was 17.
All right.
I left all my mess with my little brother, so he had to clean it up. And also, there's some CDs, Metallica posters. I didn't have the console in my room either, or a TV. I only had books. So
you
go
only had books?
And read books.
And what would you read?
Edgar Allan Poe, all those evil things.
Now. Right on. Yeah. Carved your girlfriend's name in your wrist with a razor blade, too. 277. What? I told you that story.
I don't recall.
We used to have girls would come over to our farm to work in the horse stables, and they'd live at our farm. And they'd get college credit for it and all of that. And this started probably in the early 70s and went right up through the 70s.
So what, they got credit if the horse didn't die?
Yeah, they'd just do their agricultural stuff. They wanted to get into that stuff for going into college. And we had one girl. My father had to kick her out. She would carve with a razor blade her boyfriend's name, Sal, on one arm. And in the other arm, carve Alice in because she was a big Alice Cooper fan. And my dad was walking in from the garage, passing her room with the door open, and saw her with her arm and a razor blade. And he said, "What are you doing?
What are you, stupid?
I'm carving my boyfriend's name in my arm. Get out." Now.
That's how things used to work.
Yeah. Get out now. Pack your stuff up. Get out.
Nowadays, we just celebrate her truth.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Get out.
Hey, this is Jay in Naples.
Jay.
No questions. Yeah. Just get out.
It was get out. Jay, if we walked into your room and you're 14, 15, 16 years, what's in your room?
All right, so we're talking like 1974. So there's a couple of 4-foot black lights hanging on the ceiling.
Right on.
We got the obligatory Farrah Fawcett poster on the wall. I got a Jimi Hendrix poster on the wall. I got the Cheech and Chong album. I think I had some orange shag carpeting on the floor. Let's see, what else? There was probably a bag of weed. Cheech and Chong album without the paper, the rolling paper in it.
Hey, you guys, it's raining out here.
Took a second, but it's all right. Ahoy, who's this?
Marty, Marty.
Hey, Marty, Marty, Marty.
Hey.
All right, you're
nobody knows how to party like Marty.
That's right.
You know what? You're 15, 16 years old. Haney and I go into Marty's bedroom. What do we see in there?
Playboy and penthouse underneath the mattress.
And that was before even penthouse showed full nudity.
The forum. I read a lot.
What about we?
Yeah, we. Did you have that, or was that too soft?
We?
Yeah.
Man, I was doing acid by
Probably a Big Eddie Money fan.
Hey, gang. Jeez. Jeez. 277-9600. As a teenager, I can't even hear myself. As a teenager, what might we find if we walked into your bedroom, say when you were 14 to 17 years of age? Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, Stan Haney?
Yes.
This is Sully from Estero.
Hey, what do you say, Sully?
Nothing much, nothing much. We talked before. I sent you a picture of my little pup I plastered Paris some time ago.
I remember.
But you know, you guys are constantly bringing up all these memories, my God, that I forget. I'm going to reveal my age and my class, because back when I grew up was that age, early 60s, there was one TV in the house. That was in the living room.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I had nothing in the bedroom other than my younger brother. There were two twin beds. Everything was very stock. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she rifled through everything, so you knew not to keep it there. And it was pretty simple. Middle class.
Any baseball cards under the bed?
No, I couldn't keep anything around. She'd confiscate.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you joy at that age?
Girls.
Okay. Did you bring them in that room?
No. Are you kidding me? Stay at home, mom.
Yep.
Woods.
Stan might remember, because you were down in Westerly vacationing.
Yes.
There was a beautiful park at the time called Roger Williams Park in Providence. It was ranked as one of the best parks in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would always be out there doing something,
right,
roaming around.
Yeah, right there by the benches.
What have you. By the way, the other day I was listening to you, and you were telling somebody to kiss you, or you know what. I have another way you can say it, and nobody will know what you're talking about.
All right.
It's a Gaelic expression called Pogue Mahone.
I appreciate the call. 277.
Isn't that a starting pitcher for the Indians?
It is. Went 10-5 last year.
You know, talking about not having the TV in the bedroom.
Yeah.
The TV was such a big deal.
It was.
I remember the day that they delivered the Curtis Mathis.
See, you had a nice Curtis Mathis.
Oh, we went for years. We started out with a 19-inch black and white. We made our way up to a 19-inch color. And then the day that 27-inch Curtis Mathis showed up, you would have thought we'd gotten a big screen the way we felt about that.
The main TV in our house. Now, I remember when I was just a little toddler, we got rid of the 19-inch black and white, and my dad bought a 1965 RCA color television, and it was not even the square picture. It was 25 inches, but the screen was round and cut off at the top and the bottom, and that was the color TV, and he refused to buy another color TV for that house. The TV repairman used to come to the house and have to wave a magnet over the picture tube to get the color straight on it. And once he did that, he goes, every 6 months I just have to demagnetize it there. And it was all tube TV. There it is!
Yeah, I mean, you look at that, and, you know, think about kids going, to a dorm or an apartment. Now, they think, no big deal. I'll put my, my 46-inch TV under my arm, carry it on up the stairs. You wanted to move a TV back then.
You were moving furniture.
You needed at least two people.
All wood cabinetry. It was meant to last a lifetime, so they
said. That's what the Curtis Matthews was. It was a piece of furniture.
Now it's all disposable. One more, and then we got to take a break.
But light as hell.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hello? Ahoy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
All right.
I'm so happy you picked up my call.
Here's the deal. Go ahead.
She's going to tell you, Stan.
You're going to tell me, and I know you're chomping it. Go ahead, Andrea.
I was turning 16, so when I went out to party, I had a solid mattress. When I came home, my parents put in a waterbed.
You had a waterbed at 16?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I looked at the waterbed, and I slept on the floor because I got so seasick.
Jeez. Thank you.
I knew a girl with a waterbed. Yeah. Some of the happiest memories of my life.
But at 16, they called her the bus.
Oh, not this one. No. She was very low key at school. Mm-hmm. It was when we were walking home that she came out
to
play.
And everybody rode.
Not everybody.
You were the only one.
Well,
she had a waterbed. You were the only one to this day. She still hasn't married.
That's right. And she had a waterbed, and her dad had a Betamax in the master bedroom.
Everybody rides.
And they didn't get home until well after 6.
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. We'll be back. Mark Haney in the news is next. We're Stan and Haney.
Two radio vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney Afternoons on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mark Haney in the news coming up here in just a second. 6 o'clock, it'll be our new guy, Al Beck. He's handling evenings.
And we'd like you to treat him with the respect due a new hire.
Yes. You know how Haney and I treat a new hire. We expect the same. Well, Val Beck.
Give him that good old Southwest Florida welcome.
Yeah. That's what we want from... Junior, I'll ask you, and then I'll go straight into the news. Is there any update on traffic over there?
Nothing on the board.
There has been... when was the last time anything was put on the board?
10 o'clock this morning.
And then he ate a heavy lunch.
Yes, and said, I can't go back. Jeez. Unbelievable. Mark?
Now, keep in mind, when we tell you that, it doesn't mean there's nothing happening.
Oh,
it just means we don't know.
We have no idea.
Doesn't mean you're all clear.
You see, we're in a building. Our eyes are our traffic people that we get sent to us to tell us what's going on. Since they haven't put anything up since 10 o'clock, doesn't mean nothing's going on. There's probably a lot of stuff going on out there.
We're just none the wiser.
We just don't know. Mark Haney.
Just like the phones and Junior's computer, if you play the cards you dealt, right?
Yep. That's the way the song went. Mark Haney and the news brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchorman was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Mark Haney was the balls.
Hi, I'm Gary.
You provoke me.
You're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, July 30th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You know, if there's one thing that I'm fairly confident that our own Junior is an expert on, it's nonsense.
Yeah, complete nonsense.
Things like superheroes and comics.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Action figures.
Yep.
And I don't understand, but evidently there are rival comic camps.
Yes. Like the classic DC versus Marvel universe.
Yes, and which camp are you in?
Camp Marvel, brah.
So you don't care for DC?
Not really.
What's the difference?
Characters?
It's just the lineup. It's the stable yeah. of characters they have.
So who's Superman?
Some dude over in DC.
Who's Batman?
Some dude over in DC.
And you're on the other side?
Yep.
You're against Superman and Batman?
I like Batman.
Who's on your team?
Who's on my team?
Yeah.
Ooh, boy, that's a tough
Who's the big Marvel
Their star?
Who's their star?
Who's their star? Like Captain America, Thor? Like we have the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe going on right
Batman
now?
I think Batman and Superman alone would whoop their ass.
Yeah, oh, no. Not one bit. Batman doesn't even have any powers. He's just a little rich baby.
He's pretty smart.
Yeah, he is pretty smart.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of money.
Yeah, you put those two things together.
And Glock gets done.
Yeah.
Take a drive up to Wayne Manor.
I mean, some say that Tony Stark's just a ripoff of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, but Iron Man's way better.
Do you know anything about DC? Anything at all?
I mean, a little tiny bit.
Do you know what DC stands for?
The Comics.
The Comics?
The Comics.
The DC...
I'm shutting your mic off.
Thank you, Stan.
Thank you, Haney.
The DC in DC Comics originally stood for Detective Comics. So the full name of their company is Detective Comics Comics.
Right there.
Very similar to another thing that Stan pointed out years ago, much like the Caloosahatchee River.
Yeah. Yeah, basically just you're saying the Colusa River.
Just like Detective Comics Comics.
Yep, there's that right there. Detective Comics, Batman and Robin right on the cover.
They don't have Batman or Superman.
No. They're the losers.
I mean, just Batman and Superman alone could probably take on anything they threw at them.
Yep. I'm not putting your microphone on.
You know what's funny, Stan?
What?
This is for the audience's benefit. Obviously, Stan and I don't give a rat's ass about this, yet Junior is getting genuinely upset when we say these things.
I don't give a rat's ass. Even when
he's ready to fight about it.
Even when I was a kid, I didn't read comic books. I read real books.
Yeah, we watch Batman and Superman on TV. Are you familiar with the song Smack My Bitch Up, the classic by Prodigy?
Are you, Junior? No?
You don't know it?
No, I just love the title.
I don't know it.
Yes, you do. You have to know it.
Look, I don't know if that's a good idea to put it on.
Why? It's a big hit.
Am I going to have to hit a button?
Why? No.
What is it?
Smack My Bitch Up.
I don't know if...
You're going to recognize it when you hear it. It's Still not ringing any bells?
Nope.
Junior? Recognize it?
Sounds a little familiar.
I don't know it.
All right, well, I should probably cut it off before any lyrics come through.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
That song, which was a big hit, has, as far as lyrics go, it has six different words that compromise the entire lyric of the song. How many songwriters do you suppose were credited with coming up with that?
Three.
Nine.
Jeez.
And the lyrics are, change my picture, smack my bitch up.
Yep. Mother.
Yeah. Big hit. Nine songwriters collecting royalties on that. Wonder how long that took. Put that together.
Oh, you know that had to take with how many of them?
Nine songwriters.
Oh, that was 2-3 years.
A lot of long nights.
Yeah.
Like to thank all the babies born during the creation of that song.
A lot of long nights and a lot of crossing out lyrics because nobody could agree.
Yep. A lot of long nights, impossible odds.
Yep.
Keeping my eye by the keyhole. If it takes all that to be just what I am.
Oh.
All right, I won't finish it. Stan, you know the U.S. presidents like nobody's business.
Like the back of my hand.
You know everything about them, who they are, everything they've ever done. There is exactly one president of the United States who legitimately earned a doctorate, a Ph.D.
Mm-hmm. That would be the racist Democrat president, Woodrow Wilson.
Isn't he responsible for the federal income tax?
Yes, he is. And was one of the most racist presidents you would ever look at his papers, read his stuff. You want to talk about, you don't know what racism is until you read the Woodrow Wilson papers.
He is the only president who earned a doctorate. He received a Ph.D., in history and political science from Johns Hopkins University.
That's one of your biggies. I believe he was the president or the head of Princeton.
Hmm.
I think it was Princeton.
I don't have that in front of me.
I don't know. He might have been.
The United Nations, the blue helmet of the United Nations.
Yeah.
If you ever see that in your yard, the United Nations is represented almost like their president by what they call a Secretary General.
Correct. I think they change like every 4 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Kofi Annan?
Boutros Ghali.
Yeah.
There has never, ever been a UN secretary, even from the entire continent of North America.
I believe it.
And like, you know, all these international organizations, like the World Health Organization, which is a fraud. What's his name? Dr. Tedros something? But his doctorate is in, like, BS.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with medical stuff.
Yeah. His first degree was a BS in BS.
Yep.
Went on to get his doctorate.
From Woodrow Wilson University.
Yep. Bunch of BS.
Yep.
Mother.
DC rules.
Right on.
Batman whooped your ass.
Kick ass.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, Saturday is National Mustard Day.
Brown or yellow or doesn't matter?
I think it's mustard in general.
All right. Mustard seed?
To celebrate National Mustard Day, the good people over at French's Mustard, and you know what? I respect them. Because they stay in their lane.
Yes.
They make mustard. Okay?
Don't they make Worcestershire sauce, too?
I don't know. I can only think of French's mustard.
Yeah.
But, you know, Heinz, they're known for ketchup, and they make mustard, too.
Yeah.
Why not let French have this one thing?
Yep. French's. When you say French's, you think mustard.
Mm-hmm.
You think Heinz, you do think ketchup, although they make mustard.
Yeah. And then they confuse you and put things into what they call a picnic pack.
Yep.
Where, now, yes, I want my Heinz ketchup, but I also get Heinz mustard and Heinz relish. Not my first choice, but it's such a bargain, I can't turn it down.
Yeah, they do make Worcestershire. I like a good Worcestershire sauce.
It comes in handy.
Sure does.
Always nice to have a bottle in case.
Yep. Shake a little on a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, if the mood hits you.
Yeah. You know what Junior's getting tonight? Eel. He told me that today. He says, I'm getting myself some eel tonight.
You know, I hear the nubs are the best part. The good people at French's Mustard have decided to create a limited edition mustard beer.
No, thank you.
Now, even the good people at French's realize that would be a terrible taste if mustard were the main ingredient in the beer. So they made what they call a tropical wheat beer brewed with French's mustard. In other words, yes, there's mustard in there, but they've drowned it out with fruit.
All right, and I'm looking at it right now. Very stylish can. Got the French's flag right on it, and it's yellow.
But I might mistakenly pour that on a hot dog.
Could easily happen.
The beer will be on sale on Saturday, and you can get it online. A six-pack is $20.
What? Yeah, $20? That's out of Junior's price range. He likes free.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis.
Speaking of which, I got a batch about to turn.
For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, yeah, next couple of days, Junior, last call on New Year's Eve beer.
You can count on me.
Of course he can.
You know what? I don't want to be too rough on the subject of the next story. Let's just preface it by saying that maybe because of all the COVID madness that people may have forgotten how you're supposed to behave outdoors after being isolated at home for so long.
What's going on?
Police in Hopkinton, Massachusetts received a call around 6:30 a.m. Monday regarding a couple walking their dog.
Okay.
Nude.
Jeez.
When the police responded to the call, 32-year-old Marielle Kinney and 30-year-old Kevin Pinto both took off running. Nude. When the police caught up to them, they did the only thing they could do.
What's that?
They turned and attacked the police officers. They were both arrested for indecent exposure, assault and battery on a police officer, disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest.
Look at him.
Which brings us to the question, why?
Yeah, why?
Why were they naked? Why would they fight the police?
Because that's their truth.
You're spot on, Stan. Officers say neither of them would give a straight answer.
Of course not.
But they did volunteer this. Their dog, Lucy, is a, quote, very good dog. Guess didn't want the dog to be dragged involved with them, you know. But Lucy had nothing to do with this. And that's the news. Shame.
Shame.
And that's
shame.
The news for today, Thursday, July 30th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mucky Haney, telling it like it is.
Shame. Shame.
I don't have it pulled up.
I thought you were the pullout king.
I am the pullout king.
And you don't have it what?
The man that put food on the table. The man who took care of your every whim. And this is how you repay him. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame.
Absolute Law text line. Haney, just wanted to let you know that French's does make ketchup.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I want some.
See if it's on the screen. See if you can pull
it
up.
I have never seen French's ketchup.
Neither have I.
See, I didn't know it existed.
Junior, see if there's a bottle of French's that we can look at. Make Haney want some.
French's fried onions.
Oh, yeah, fried onions. They're big in fried onions.
French's Ketchup Canada. French's Ketchup Shortage.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
They even make buffalo tomato ketchup.
Right there.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
You know, I bet they only did that, though, after years of abuse by Heinz.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolute Law text line. Guys, I heard your question of the week. I am a girl. I shared a room with my little sister and grandmother. Jeez. But my brother had his own room. It had black light posters, a record player, and an awesome album collection. Books like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I would go in there after seventh grade Catholic school and listen to Black Sabbath, 1973.
Free publicity plus a decent price has allowed French's to gain ground at Heinz's
right.
expense. But I think it's only in Canada.
Well, we have a lot of friends in Canada. They sent us the Big Mac sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Attention.
I'm all out of Big Mac sauce.
Canada calling.
I'm Pryor Smith.
Yep, we need French's ketchup. Jason,
what French's has accomplished in recent years is unheard of,
yep.
Stan.
We need Canada calling. We need French's ketchup. I got to take a break. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same.
Yep.
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Greatly appreciated. Al Beck coming up at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your Thursday evening. Let's get a quick look at traffic for your drive home. Just one thing on the board. Should be in the clearing stages. This about a half hour ago. Hit and run. Alico Road and I-75 northbound right here at Fort Myers. And you are up to date.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
Shame! third shame is the best.
Shame! 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 Shame!
That third one. That third shame. That's the
money one.
Yeah.
Shame! Shame! Shame!
Let's laugh a little bit more.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
See, I relieve my stress by buying stuff. I go to Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop. Yeah. Here's the problem. I'm an impulse buyer. I'm like, ooh, look, I bought a deer feeder. Then I think, oh, man, I got to get it home. And that drives my wife crazy because she's very much a list shopper. Like, she hates it when I get on airplanes. Because the airlines now have this magazine called Sky Mall Magazine. Oh, that is my crack. I know it's just crap, but it's crap I gotta have. I bought an escalator for my house. Just because it conveniently fits underneath the bed. That's how they get you. You've been flipping through that magazine, not paying a bit of attention. And all of a sudden, this will catch your eye. Tired of your knees touching when you sleep? Well, now that you mention it, yes, I am. And they sell some stupid stuff in there. Have you seen that rubber thing you put on your shoes? And it says, you can aerate your own lawn. Okay. How big a loser are you stomping around your yard? I'm saving money. Don't get me wrong, it works.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. As a teenager, say between the ages of 14 and 17, pick a year. What might we find if we walked into your bedroom? Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Chip. How you doing?
Chip, we're doing good. As a teenager, what was in your room? If Haney and I and Junior walked into your room as a 14, 15-year-old, what was in there?
And I was 17.
All right.
I left all my mess to my little brother, so he had to clean it up. And also, there's some CDs, Metallica posters. I didn't have the console in my room either, or a TV. I only had books. So
you
go to your
had
room
books.
And read books.
And what would you read?
Edgar Allan Poe, all those evil things.
Oh, right on, right on. Yeah. Carved your girlfriend's name in your wrist with a razor blade, too. I told you that story.
I don't recall.
We used to have girls would come over to our farm to work in the horse stables, and they'd live at our farm, and they'd get college credit for it and all of that, and this started probably in the early 70s, and went right up through the 70s.
So what, they got credit if the horse didn't die?
Yeah, they did just do their agricultural stuff. They wanted to get into that stuff for going into college. And we had one girl, my father had to kick her out. She would carve with a razor blade her boyfriend's name, Sal, on one arm, and in the other arm, carve Alice in, because she was a big Alice Cooper fan. And my dad was walking in from the garage, passing her room with the door open, and saw her with her arm and a razor blade. And he said, what are you doing?
Are you stupid?
I'm carving my boyfriend's name in my arm. Get out. Now.
That's how things used to work.
Yeah. You get out now, pack your stuff up, get out.
Nowadays, we just celebrate her truth.
Yep. Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Get out.
Hey, this is Jay in Naples.
Jay.
No questions. Yeah. Just get out.
Yeah, it was get out. Jay, if we walked into your room and you're 14, 15, 16 years, what's in your room?
All right, so we're talking like 1974. So there's a couple of four-foot black lights hanging on the ceiling.
Right on.
We got the obligatory Farrah Fawcett poster on the wall. I got a Jimi Hendrix poster on the wall. I got the Cheech and Chong album. I think I had some orange shag carpeting on the floor. Let's see, what else? There was probably a bag of weed. Cheech and Chong album without the paper, the rolling paper in it.
Hey, you guys, it's raining out here.
Okay. Took a second, but it's all right. Ahoy, who's this?
Marty. Hey.
All right, you're.
Nobody knows how to party like Marty.
That's right.
You know what? You're 15, 16 years old. Haney and I go into Marty's bedroom. What do we see in there?
Playboy and penthouse underneath the mattress.
And that was before even penthouse showed full nudity.
The forum. I read a lot.
What about forum? We?
Yeah, we. Did you have that, or was that too soft?
We?
Yeah.
Man, I was doing acid by
Probably a Big Eddie Money fan.
Hey, gang. Jeez. As a teenager, what might we find if we walked into your bedroom, say when you were 14 to 17 years of age? Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, Stan Haney?
Yes.
This is Sully from Estero. Hey,
what do you say, Sully?
Nothing much. We talked before. I sent you a picture of my little pup I plastered Paris
yes,
some
sir.
Time ago.
I remember.
Well, you know, you guys are constantly bringing up all these memories, my God, that I forget. I'm going to reveal my age and my class because back when I grew up was that age, early 60s, there was one TV in the house. That was in the living room.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I had nothing in the bedroom other than my younger brother. There were two twin beds. Everything was very stock. Mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she rifled through everything, so you
yes.
knew not to keep it there. And it was pretty simple. Pretty
middle
class.
Any baseball cards under the bed?
No, I couldn't keep anything around. She'd confiscate.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you joy at that age?
Girls.
Okay, did you bring them in that room?
No. Are you kidding me? Stay at home, mom.
Yep.
Woods.
Stan, might remember, because you were down in Westerly vacationing.
Yes.
There was a beautiful park at the time called Roger Williams Park in Providence. It was ranked as one of the best parks in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would always be out there doing something,
right.
Roaming around.
Yeah, right there by the benches.
What have you. By the way, the other day I was
yes.
listening to you and you were
yes.
telling somebody to kiss your you-know-what. I have another way you can say it, and nobody will know what you're talking about.
All right.
It's a Gaelic expression called Pogue Mahone.
Appreciate the call.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.